Monday afternoon, and welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we're back once again. I was having a bit of deja vu as we were coming in there, Sheena. It's like every week I seem to start the show with this whole, I feel like Cliff Clavin from Cheers. It's Cheers before your time.
No. And thankfully to syndication, it's not before my time, so I'll say that.
Well, I don't know if you knew where I was going with this, but Cliff was always, it's a little known fact, and I feel like it just hit me all of a sudden. Every time I come in here, we open up and we're talking, hey, I was just reading a research article.
Hey.
It's your turn. I'm going to put you on the spot. What have you been reading?
What have I been reading?
Or what have you been watching? Either one.
You know, I'm trying to think what I have been up to lately. So my husband and I, Terry, he did not watch the series The Office whenever it was live on NBC back in the day. And so now that it is on streaming services like Netflix, we've been able to do that.
Right.
So not really the most educational shows. We've been through a phase where we kind of went out of our cable service, and so we've been exclusively streaming content.
Right.
So it's been a little bit of an adjustment for me. So it's been weird not being connected to a lot of extra TV channels.
That's interesting because I have several friends that have done that, just gone to, the different services and try to match them up as best they could. Have y'all had pretty good luck with that?
It has been pretty good. Now, there are some local news channels that have apps on specific devices. So we've been able to get the local news. And I always get paranoid about that because we live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of mature trees and they're beautiful. But when there's bad weather, I keep thinking, oh my gosh, there's going to be a tree that falls through our bedroom. I really need to know what's happening with the weather. So that's been good to know that a lot of the local news channels have been kind of taking notice that some people are phasing out of their cable services or satellite services. So that has been good.
Well, so did y'all look into that prior to starting the process?
Not really. It was more so, was one of those things where we got out of our introductory contract price with a couple different companies in town, and then we're like, you know what, let's see what's going to happen. I was worried with football season that we would be missing some games, but it hasn't been too bad because we do have some specific subscriptions to like things like ESPN and everything that's allowed us to do that.
That would be my biggest fear. I didn't even think about that.
It was really stressful when my husband played fantasy football with like NFL games. That would have been a deal breaker, but now that he does not do that, we're okay. It's kept me from watching unnecessary TV. So, it's
is there such
good.
A thing as unnecessary TV?
I think so. Now, the biggest shows that I miss are Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Speaking of educational content.
Yeah, I mean, we would look forward to the wheel every night before dinner, and now I can't do that. So I know I sound really lame, but that's okay.
You're an expert if you refer to it as the wheel.
I feel like I have that crown, so hey, I've watched it enough.
Quick funny story I tell you, speaking of television shows, I got up the morning. My son usually gets up about 6:30 to go to school. He gets up at 6:30.
Okay.
Makes it in plenty of time. He only needs about 10 or 15 minutes to get ready like me. But I walked into the kitchen, look into the living room, and there's a guy on the TV, looks like a real person, semi-cartoon-like, on a bench press, doing bench press. My son's eating a bowl of cereal, and he's sitting there with his joystick controlling this guy working out. And I'm like, this is quarter till six. It's 45 minutes earlier than what he normally needs to get up. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm working out. I had to get up and work out to go up a level on this game I'm playing. And so his workout was joystick, looking at TV, guy working out. So there's one for you. Different generation.
This conversation to be continued. I really just want to know what video game simulates like people work. I'm really perplexed by this. Okay. Well, thankfully our show has nothing to do with that. Today we have got a great afternoon for you guys. October has just been so fantastic with different types of health programming. You've noticed it with all the various guests that we've had, but we have got to take a quick break. You guys, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We'll be right back. find by my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back on this Sunday afternoon. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. And if you heard us after the break, we were just talking about different video game scenarios. Specifically, John was sharing about his son, his person working out while he is eating cereal. Is that correct?
Yes, he is. And I will say, it's like we were talking about during the break there, is, I mean, it does... It's almost like a step down from, and I don't know if I can say product names on the air, but it being the, you know, when everybody went through that Wii craze.
Yeah,
where
sure,
they
sure.
were, you know, doing workouts on the Wii and playing different games that were somewhat active. This is taking it a step farther to where you're just sitting down, using the joystick, eating cereal, and working out.
Yeah.
Watching your character work out. So,
well,
pretty interesting way to do it.
I won't put us in a complete rabbit hole. The only thing I'll say from that is... I won't say it's any better than what I did as a high schooler. I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning so that I could get ready for school. This would include hot rolling my hair and watching VH1 or MTV music video. I would just kind of lollygag as I got ready. I would like piddle through the house. It would, I don't know. And I'm sure my parents were like, what is she doing? But yeah, it was
3.5 hours.
Yeah, it was all about the hot. And I would still end up being late for school. It was, and I lived less in a mile from my high school. I really, I don't know. I wish I could have talked to my 16-year-old self.
Yeah.
I obviously had some issues.
That's
but
a lot of downtime.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't want to share any more of that. Now let's we'll go to our topic at hand. And John, you know, I know we've mentioned this before. We've had so many great guests during the month of October with all of the different awareness weeks. And, you know, and it's been fantastic that they've been through such a diversity of health issues, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone, I mean, kind of run the gamut so far this month. And it's like we were talking about, when you look at the calendar of health-related promotions and events for the month of October is the month.
Right.
It seems like
yeah.
everybody wants a shot at October and a shot at February or March. A lot
right.
of things going on both of those months. But, you know, definitely a lot going on around campus here. You know, if you get a chance to get out and walk around and just check out some of the things at the FERG and different places at the rec center. I don't know if you guys have anything at the Student Health Center.
Not now. With a lot of our outreach, you know, we've been partnering with different departments now as far as actually doing events within our health center environments.
Right.
Not so conducive to that. But, you know, like you said, you know, campus in general has been a really fantastic venue for so many of the awareness
right.
month events that have been happening. And even in the Tuscaloosa community, I really, you know, it's been neat to just see how our community has grown in terms of the diversity of the types of programming and how our community has embraced doing different events overall. But, you know, for you guys that are listening this afternoon, one of the best things that we're getting to talk about this afternoon is National LGBTQ History Month. We have been excited to discuss this, and we have two fantastic guests that are with us this afternoon. We have Dr. Meredith Bagley and Alex Davenport. Welcome to you both.
Hi,
thanks.
Yeah, yeah. And if you guys don't mind, we'd love for you to share a little bit about yourselves, you know, the type of work that you've done at UA. I know you guys are kind of pointing and deciding who wants to talk first. So tell us a little bit about your roles at UA, and then we'll kind of get started with the rest of our conversation.
Sure. Yeah, we're happy to be here. Thanks for making time on your show for these topics. We're really glad to tie them into health, too, as a theme.
Sure.
The history point is there, but the health theme as well. So I'm an associate professor of communication studies in the Department of Communication Studies. We're in the College of Communication Information Sciences over
awesome.
In Reese Pfeiffer. So I've been doing that for 8 years, moved here in the fall of 2010. And I got involved with Safe Zone right away when that first year, by the spring of 11, was starting to help run trainings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say trainings, a major thing that the Safe Zone Resource Center provides is the Ally Training Program. It's a 3-hour training that anyone can on campus can take, faculty, staff, students, graduate students. And it helps go through some basic terminology, ways to respond in an inclusive and supportive way. to folks who might be having any number of life topics related to their gender identity and sexuality. I've helped out with Spectrum Vents a little bit. I'm a little stronger on the admin faculty staff side of things is where I've kind of found my groove. Teach classes that touch on these topics. So it's just a fun way to bring what I study and what I teach into a really tangible, hands-on way. I'm also a big health nut, right? I'm an athlete my whole life. I've helped coach sports and enjoy doing that, kind of trying to stay active, especially as the weather gets nice and cool for all our fall events, right?
Yeah. I actually started on campus in, let's see, fall 2011, and my first role was a graduate student, but then also serving as the graduate student coordinator for the UA Safe Zone program.
Okay, awesome.
And it was the first year that position existed, so a lot of it was just creating some structure out of that and starting to build relationships and the network associated with the Ally program across campus. So I did that for about 2 years, which allowed me to get a lot involved in a lot of different ways, have conversations with other grad students, have conversations with offices and departments about the need to just inform and educate across the board. And then from there, I've actually worked for a staff member for a couple of years on campus. I've been in student life and academic student services. And so that's given me another avenue to work directly with students and work on resource development. So I'm excited to say I've gone back to graduate school and so I'm working with a group that does campus climate research.
That's awesome.
And so thinking about sense of belonging and a lot of what we come up with here in terms of serving students and developing resources. So, actively working on trainings with Meredith and a lot of other folks in the Safe Zone program that hopefully we'll chat a little more about.
Yeah, and Alex, I actually recall first meeting you whenever you were working with housing at one point in time. I feel like I have this affinity for being drawn to people in housing, just having worked in housing myself. I used to be an ACD over in the Tutwiler area,
cool.
And then an RA as well. And so it's like your kindred spirits when you know what that atmosphere has been like. So I definitely remember your time being in the Division of Student Life back in that time. So good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Sheena, I have to admit, you're like Forrest Gump. There's nothing that you have not done. But I will tell you guys, when Sheena threw in the history part of that, the history month part of that, I kept overlooking that. I didn't realize that I'd overlooked it every time when I was looking at the things that we were going to talk about. Could you guys talk just a little bit, you know, kind of about the history of Safe Zone on the campus of the university? I know y'all haven't been here for the duration of it, but, you know, kind of how it has evolved over the years.
Yeah, no, we're really excited to talk about that. We are actually in our 15th year as a program on campus. So we actually just 2 weeks ago had an event with Eli Strong, which was one of the co-founders of the Safe Zone program. It started as a student initiative. It was two students who got together and said, hey, we got to start having conversations with faculty, staff, and other graduate students to really start to do some resource development. And so the two of them just rolled up their sleeves and started having those talks with folks. And then from there, the program built. For a while, it was supported by Capstone Alliance, which is the faculty and staff LGBTQ organization on campus. And then, like I said, back in 2011 is when we really started to see it pick up more institutional support. So, yes, it predates us, but not by a ton. Mm-hmm. It's just 15 years now.
And we have some additional things planned this year to celebrate the 15th year of the program. So if folks want to keep an eye out on social media and our website for other folks to kind of come back and talk about the starting of it and the challenges of doing that 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, with Safe Zone in general, you know, when I was doing my research, I had not necessarily realized that it was a program or resource that was available at multiple universities as far as like using that branding of Safe Zone. Do you guys happen to know how long just the Safe Zone program or organization has been available to just college campuses in general?
Sure. And that was actually a great conversation we got to have with Eli, who was here as an undergrad in 2002. And based on our research, we can see Safe Zone type programs as early as 1992, so 10 years prior to UA's start. But it's one of those kind of funny moments. Eli kept calling it a cultural collective consciousness sort of moment, right, where it seemed like a bunch of campuses at the same time started trying to direct or create programs like this. And I think it has to do with visibility, number of people coming out earlier, which is something we'll talk about on the health context, actually. Universities realizing they needed to offer these type of ancillary support for students outside the classroom. So somewhere in that kind of 1995 to 2000, it seems like a lot of campuses came together, and there's something like this at most of them at this point.
Sure. No, well, I just, I appreciate you giving that history on that. And I know just, you know, with our list of questions that we have and discussion topics that we're going to have some really rich discussion this afternoon. But, you know, we've got to take one of those wonderful breaks. You guys, be sure to stick in with us. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're continuing this Sunday afternoon our conversation with Alex and Dr. Bagley. Appreciate you guys being here once again, and continuing on with what we were talking about a little bit before the break. Guys, talk just a little bit. I know y'all were talking about some of the things that were going on this month, and we got cut a little short there. Could y'all continue to talk about just some of the things that y'all have going on during the month of October? I know we're getting close to the end here, but
Sure. So October is a LGBT History Month recognized nationwide. It's one of the official theme months like we have for other types of communities. We do share part of the month with Hispanic Latino Heritage Month, which we always try and do sort of double, triple events in the first half. But the programming can get kind of dense and busy for a little while in October, like you guys said. So groups that provide events during this month in the Tuscaloosa area are range from campus to the community. So around campus things, you'll see events from Spectrum. They had a homecoming dance on Friday night. They called it Halloween. So it was costume nice. / LGBT history. Crossroads Diversity or Community Center has organized a whole month-long calendar of events, and they publicize through their outlets. But shifting towards community, that it's important to think that there's LGBTQ-identified people who live all through Tuscaloosa County in West Alabama. So 4 years ago, a group called Druid City Pride got started. And the Unitarian Universalists up in North River started the first Pride March in Tuscaloosa, where they walked from downtown to campus. We had a small gathering at the Chimes, talked about our goals, what we wanted to do. The next year, we flipped that around and walked from the courthouse to the downtown government plaza and had a little bit more of a festival, had kind of a gathering of folks. And that has really grown. So we just had this past 2 weeks ago on the 15th of November, last weekend, and had over 35 tables presenting between organizations, nonprofits, some vendors selling their goods. We had three keynote speakers. We had a live band. We had drag performances that were kind of fun songs for middle of the day entertainment. And a slew of events kind of are planned around that festival. We've had movie nights. We've had panels. We try and do a mix of educational events, right, but also some community building, age-appropriate kind of fun mix of things to get everybody out there. So that is kind of winding down. There's one event I wanted to highlight that's coming up, and then we have some Safe Zone events. But this coming Wednesday, the 25th of October, it's an early morning event, 7:30 to 9, but it's sponsored by the College of Nursing, and it has a health pitch to it I thought would be helpful for your show. Dr. Molly Alishire is going to be on campus talking about providing patient-centered care for LGBTQ populations in rural areas specifically, so the rural emphasis that our community health programs have. And that can be signed up through Stephanie O'Neill. Her email is soneal2@ua.edu and can be found on the UA calendar as well. But that's open to anyone who wants to learn about those professional skills as we kind of close out the month. There are some Safe Zone things not too far in November.
Yeah, no, and I think, Meredith, that's a great example of just the diversity of the type of events that we're seeing within LGBTQ History Month. You know, we're trying to educate folks, but also equip folks with quality skills with whatever field they're working in, you know, and so we hear healthcare a lot, and I think that's completely relevant to the show for you guys too, right? But Safe Zone obviously does a lot throughout the month, but throughout the year as well, and a big piece of that is community building. And so we'll be having our standing events, typically on Fridays, what we have is a group called Men and Masculinity, Non-Toxic Masculinity. Mm-hmm. They meet on Friday mornings. And then we also have Friday Fun Days, which are a space where students and also sometimes faculty and staff join, but for the most part, it's students coming together and just building community. And so watching movies or playing games, hanging out. But that's every Friday as well, so not just October, but through November and into next semester, you'll be able to see those as well. We do have a Safe Zone training coming up in November, so November 13th from 5 to 8. So any faculty, staff, grad students that want to learn a little bit more about the community and then ways that they can be an advocate on campus, they're welcome to sign up via the Safe Zone website for that as well.
That's awesome. I just, with both of you talking, I have all of these questions in my head. One of the questions that I had, and John, I'm sorry, I was like biting at the bit. I probably, if you guys could see me, I'm like trying to like, you know, karate chop him so that I can ask my question. But Meredith, with the event that you mentioned on the 25th and just thinking about training healthcare professionals, do you think that there is often a missed opportunity for inclusion within healthcare facilities when facilities don't do the best job of asking about gender or sex on intake forms, just as far as clarifying between gender identity, gender expression, sex identity, sex expression, or sexual orientation,
sure,
and sexual preference?
It's certainly a really rich place to kind of think carefully through those processes. And mm-hmm. when I talk with folks who work in any kind of health-related field, from you know, individual fitness all the way to public health, we think about the goal of everyone that I know in healthcare is to help somebody and have them come back for that
right.
next round of help, right? No one gets fit in one session. No one gets perfectly, you know, medically healthy in one session or mentally healthy. So if you have things in your workspace or in your work process that put up little barriers, little kind of hostility challenges for folks, that adds the likelihood they might not come back. And mm-hmm. if you speak with health providers, usually that's a major concern, is that kind of one and done, we never see them again. So you're right, things like intake forms, thinking hard about how is the language designed there, what do I need to know from my client, am I getting that through the process I have, things in the environment. Alex used the word climate earlier for her research. Mm-hmm. That's the whole sense of when I walk into a space, from the lobby, you know, to the exam room or the consultation room or the personal training space, what sort of symbols and messages and just kind of feel is there? And LGBTQ folks that we work with are both incredibly perceptive to little tips of inclusion, the teeniest little details, language, symbols, right, little rainbow flag thingies, or just even things around language or nonverbal communication. Very, very receptive to those little tips, and often very forgiving of a well-intentioned sort of good effort that you're not quite perfect, right? A lot of folks we work with say, well, I don't know the right words, and the words change so fast. And it's not about being perfectly up to date. It's about trying,
right?
And folks who have felt historically left out of spaces or marginalized in spaces are going to be really attuned to that person who's trying. So even mm-hmm. if you kind of bumble a little bit, right, that trying to fix your bumble is tons more helpful than not trying at all.
Right, sure.
So that's what I talk with a lot with medical health, mental health, even mm-hmm. personal fitness kind of stuff, of just that effort is there. And we're really quick to perceive those efforts.
Sure.
And I hear from students, I mean, Meredith, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of those repeat visits, right? Mm-hmm. So we hear that from students where maybe they went to see a caregiver once, but if they had a negative experience, they're not going back. And that's some of that sustained healthy living that we start to be concerned about. So I think those subtle indicators that it is an inclusive space, a respectful space, and a space that someone can return to. The other thing I hear sometimes students say is, you know, in that moment, my sexuality is not relevant, right? I have a head cold, or I don't feel good, or, you know, I have an important prescription that I need to get filled. And becomes a conversation about their sexuality. And so for them, they're going, oh, I just feel kind of worn down right now. You know, I just got to take care of the sniffly nose. So I think sometimes knowing when is it relevant, when is it not,
right.
How do we signal, like I said, this is an inclusive space. And that can be pretty simple things like, you know, what name would you like to be called in this space? A line for someone to put their pronouns so you can indicate, you know, how do I want you to interact with me? How do I want you to refer to me? Those little things can say a lot about whether or not someone's going to feel welcome there.
Yeah, I think those are great tips. And, you know, I know we get the benefit on campus where people can signify that they are a safe zone ally, you know, and having that there. I know in the community it might be, you have to be a little bit more creative with making sure that people see that. But it sounds like you both are just saying that, you know, as long as there is an authenticity that people care and they want to be intentional mm-hmm. about making them feel comfortable, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, almost real quickly, I want to step back out and like looking at the university compared to, you know, relative to other universities, large universities around the country. Are there a lot of safe zone programs around the country in the bigger universities? Mm-hmm. And is there a larger affiliation for you guys?
There's not necessarily a larger affiliation. I think kind of like Meredith was saying earlier, I mean, in the early 90s, we saw the start of these programs. And the, I mean, and you think about information sharing, too, just via the internet. Mm-hmm. The fact that we could start not all reinventing the wheel at every campus, we could start to have these conversations across campus was huge. So we see a lot of schools with programs, but there's not necessarily an overarching organization or body that sends information to each one. But there is a lot of collaboration, I would say, from campus to campus. Mm-hmm. And as UA, like, we're definitely improving, and hopefully we can talk a little more about that.
Yeah.
And ways that we're doing that. But yeah, we see it, we're working a lot with other campuses, like right. I said.
Okay. Good deal. Lots of good information there.
I know. Well, let's continue this conversation, you guys. But again, time for another break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and we'll catch you in just a bit.
Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and I am John, along with my wonderful co-host, Sheena, here on a Sunday afternoon. And we are continuing our conversation with Meredith and Alex from Safe Zone, and or who are affiliated with Safe Zone. And guys, just kind of continue on with what we were talking about there. Can you talk, what we do on the show is we try to cover as many health or wellness-related topics as possible. And, you know, with this being the History Month and everything, and all of the programs and services that you guys offer at Safe Zone, could you talk a little bit about how what you're doing this month and across the year kind of plays into the wellness spectrum of what mm-hmm. we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't I talk about some mental health stuff, and then we can do some kind of physical health fitness things, although, of course, they're kind of all connected too. But when we think about health and LGBTQ folks, I think rightfully our thoughts go to mental health first, because mm-hmm. there's just a whole slew of pretty depressing statistics about the higher rates of those types of struggles that LGBTQ identified folks have. And there's just shelves of books in the library about this kind of stuff. We could rattle on forever. But at the very basic levels, LGBTQ youth face almost triple the rates of suicide attempts as a heterosexual identified youth, rates of anxiety and depression and all of these types of treatable mental health conditions are distinctly higher by a factor of between 10, 15, 25% higher in LGBT youth. And some of the research, of course, of this is shifting. And we know that historically, just being gay was considered a mental disorder in the DSM manuals until the 1970s. That has changed. And the APA is a huge ally, really, now in providing healthy therapy and support. But that doesn't mean that the mental health things haven't gone away, right?
Right.
And then a kind of interesting twist to this is that we're seeing historically people coming out even younger and younger, right? The average age is dropping into the low teens, right? And what that does is that adds some developmental issues into that person who's having a lot of other sort of stress and changes of life, maybe doesn't have as many coping skills built up yet or the resources to do that. So it's kind of exciting that people are figuring out sooner and being able to get their life into that direction they want, but it also adds tremendously to that stress and to that therapeutic sort of challenge. But through Safe Zone, Spectrum, even the faculty sort of staff folks on campus and DCP, it's just offering that kind listening ear. We spend a fair amount of time helping students in crisis who need to find an inclusive counselor. There's a support groups at the UA Counseling Center that have been great. In a smallish town like Tuscaloosa, and from these even smaller towns that our students come from, finding that care provider can be a real challenge. So there's a lot of good resources. NAMI, of course, is the major one for national mental health resources, but we do have students who sometimes need to go an hour or two away from home to find that inclusive or prepared care provider on the mental health side. We can think about how that connects to physical health, though. Some of those, and it becomes, I think the word would be like a comorbid sort of cycle, right, where if you're more prone to depression, more prone to anxiety, and then you add in the piece that you're not feeling safe in your local gym, workout group, sports team, sure. what have you, those things start to compound. So we see higher rates of drug and alcohol abuse, just higher rates of smoking, right, which we think of as a kind of lower level risk, but of course has all of that terrible health disparities around it. So we have a lot of work to do to kind of unravel that whole problem. And at the core of it is often a mental health kind of concern. You want to add anything, Alex?
Yeah, and I think for me, it kind of goes back to the, do folks feel confident and safe to go into spaces? And so we were talking about, you know, medical providers earlier, but as simple as the gym, mm-hmm. or, you know, just feeling like that's a space where your gender identity is going to be respected, right. you know, where you can peacefully move about and lift your weights and sweat and go about it, right. Have a good workout and go home. But or feeling like you can use that locker room in a safe space, I think is really critical. And like Meredith said, it's all so interconnected. So those are the type of things that are interesting to us.
Yeah. And, you know, even in my work as a dietitian, I work with people who, of course, are coming in and they may have some varied experience with body image issues, whether they're just simply there to lose weight or there is some disordered eating that's happening. And it's been really great for me to work with a lot of my colleagues that are working in eating disorder facilities that are very distinctly LGBTQ affirming. I have several colleagues in the Birmingham area that work in facilities like that, and it's so great when I can comfortably refer students who may need higher level of care if, you know, they've decided to do a medical withdrawal from the university, and with confidence know that they're going to be going into a comfortable environment. Mm-hmm. I think that food and eating in general can already be a very emotional experience, mm-hmm. and so that compounded with body image issues related to them going through a transition or anything else. Sure. So it's been, you know, just a great honor to work with that population and really provide a space where they feel comfortable.
Sure.
And I know that even some of our physicians in our facility and other physicians I've talked to in other facilities, you know, they're really trying to remove any microaggressions that they're not aware that they're doing. So it's neat to see how people are being more intentional about making sure that it's a comfortable
sure.
environment.
And I love the words that Sheena was using there about intentional and kind of thoughtful and affirming, right? So again, it's not about being perfect. It's not about being up to snuff on the latest, you know, whatever pop culture references. Mm-hmm. It's about some of those competencies of trying and listening carefully. And to me, I mean, it all comes down to listening. If we can just pause our little fast moving, you know, mental running through the day's list and sort of say, what's going on here? They're providing training for healthcare professionals, either in their training or as professional development. There's some body expectation norms within the LGBT community that I think are a little different, right? We think about the different gender identities and the type of attractiveness expectations that might kind of go with that, which could be different than a sort of conventional cisgender and heterosexual pairing. And then we haven't talked about trans a little bit, but transgender folks who are experiencing often a difference between the body they're born into and the body they feel comfortable with, right? And so that's a nice link to thinking about these fitness spaces. I was reading up a little bit about folks who work on this topic, and thinking about someone who's not comfortable in their born body, the body they're born into and assigned sex, but then you're in front of mirrors all the time at the gym, you're being encouraged to wear these sort of tight clothing, often revealing clothing when we're all sweaty, right? But that might actually increase the focus on this body that I'm not fully happy with, right?
Right.
So we see the way these things start to compound in these spaces.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a great point in terms of sometimes we kind of umbrella LGBTQIA+ as a single community with singular needs. And I think, Meredith, you make a great point. There's an incredible diversity in terms of health needs or health concerns, both physical and mental, emotional well-being across the spectrum just within this community. And so while we're educating ourselves, I think we also need to recognize how unique some of the needs and concerns are, mm-hmm. even within the community.
It's kind of interesting sitting here listening to you guys talk, because just going around the room, everybody mentioned the environment, but nobody tied this to environmental wellness. But mm-hmm. I mean, it really is a big, you know, environmental issue for a lot of people, from just the things that you guys were saying mm-hmm. right then, in addition to the social component. Mm-hmm. And Meredith, you being with your background being in communications mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, is kind mm-hmm. of, I don't know, I mean, that, you would think social would be a big part mm-hmm. of anybody's interactions. And we try to emphasize the environment as it relates to pretty much everything around mm-hmm. here.
Sure.
One thing I want to ask you guys before we, you know, I know you guys only have so much time with us here, but in terms of, like, students wanting to get involved and things that y'all have going on in the Safe Zone, what are some things that if somebody just wanted to walk up and say, hey, I want to be a part of this, mm-hmm. what can they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would recommend them. Come on over to the Safe Zone office. We actually have an office and then also a student lounge, so which is a great space. Just, you know, students come all the time. They bring their food for lunch or just bring their books to read, computer, whatever it may be. But if they're just looking for a space to hang out and learn a little bit more about what's going on campus, you'll see plastered on the wall outside of the office and then all through the lounge, flyers about events that are coming up, mm-hmm. ongoing programs, things like that. So for some folks that just want to get involved, they're welcome to come in and say, hey, are there any volunteer opportunities? Meredith can fill you in a little bit more about Druid City Pride volunteer opportunities. But again, we've talked about some of those Friday events. There are, folks are welcome to join. We also have a book club. It's called Alphabet Soup.
Oh, nice.
And the book they'll be reading in November December, it's called I'll Give You the Sun by Jandy Nelson. And so if that's something that folks want to do, just read up and join a good conversation. Again, that's another fun way to get involved. Mm-hmm. But man, we've got Spectrum for LGBTQIA plus undergraduate students. There's a new student organization for graduate students called Gradient. And then likewise at the faculty staff level, there's Capstone Alliance. So, and then Safe Zone, if you're just willing to be a volunteer or if sure. you want to participate mm-hmm. in a training. So we've got a lot of stuff just on campus. Mm-hmm. And then I'll hand it on.
Yeah. And offices, you're talking about second floor of the FERG.
Correct. Yeah, we're yeah. so it's on
floor the
that main ground floor.
Yeah, kind of yeah ground floor. It's for 2419. It's kind of near the bank and the ATM machines. Okay. If you're checking
okay.
it out.
Okay, perfect.
And Safe Zone can be the first stop to then find that next thing you want to get involved in. Because a good first place to come.
Yeah. Okay, good deal. Well, you know, I think as far as, you know, I think one thing, we're getting close to a break, but Meredith, tell us a little bit about how folks can get involved with Druid City Pride.
Yeah, and Druid City Pride has space for students as well. We very much collaborate with our campus partners. We don't try and, you know, steal their thunder or anything else. It's always a work of collaboration. Druid City Pride is new enough that we are still kind of building our infrastructure. We started out at this Pride Festival. We realized we want to do things all year. So we're in conversation about starting a PFLAG chapter, which is parents and friends okay. of lesbian, gay, bi, trans folks, which really helps that parental and kind of adult support folks who need to talk through what it feels like to have someone in their family group come out. We were in conversations just this past weekend at Pride with a group that wants to do a youth-focused support group around trauma and violence, right, of various kinds, which would be a huge addition to the resources we have. We also do just goofy, fun social stuff, right? We had a yard sale to raise money for ourselves, and there's nothing more chill and fun than eating Krispy Kreme donuts at 7 in the morning while setting up a garage sale, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was just a fun event, right?
Can you promote that on the health show?
Yeah.
This is true.
We'll bring
some apple slices next time. We do service events for just the general community, right? We volunteered at TES. We've done trash pickup. We're going to do some of the Metro Shelter happy hour dog day things. So sometimes it's about providing an inclusive space that you don't have to talk about your LGBTQ-ness, right? But you want to feel safe.
Right.
Raking leaves, right? Or whatever else. So we're trying to build that infrastructure and attend to all the kind of niches of our community.
That is awesome. You guys have just, y'all have been so fantastic this afternoon, and John and I have been appreciative of you just sharing your expertise and the resources. I know our listeners have really benefited from that. So again, thank you guys both
for being here. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, but you guys, we've got to take one more break before we wrap it up for today. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. We're closing out our 5 more minutes here with us to close out our afternoon, and just finished up a good discussion with Meredith and Alex from Safe Zone and LGBTQ, and I had a great conversation, enlightening conversation, and learned a lot of things that are going on the rest of the semester and the rest of the year in Safe Zone.
Right.
A lot of people, if you're, you know, not around campus, I don't know if you guys have done the actual Safe Zone training over at Student Health Center.
We're really pleased. One of my coworkers, Charlotte Patonic, she's one of our trainers, and so that's
okay.
I feel like I have like this awesome like in-house resource. So so it's been a good conversation today. Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about lots and lots of months or lots and lots of things that are happening this month, and I'm just totally intrigued by what is it?
It is Filipino American History Month as well this October.
Is it Female Filipino Awareness Month?
No, just Filipinos in general.
Okay,
so
all
yes.
Right.
So and it makes sense too. One of the things that I had researched, just knowing that I am of Filipino descent, is that that I realized going to the Philippines in 1993, so very long time ago, I realized all of my cousins spoke English because English is a required language there just when America colonized the Philippines. So that was really neat. And so going over there as a 10-year-old, it was great to be able to speak English with my cousins, although my English sounded a little bit different from theirs. They were really confused by me saying y'all and mash the button. And we went to the grocery store and I said something about going to get a buggy. I don't know why they were so confused.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out what's wrong with what you said.
I know.
They
were so much more eloquent than I am. So I don't know, but it was just really great. And kind of thinking about that over Thanksgiving, I'm going to get to see some of my relatives in California, my grandparents. My mom is the oldest of 7 children, and I'm the oldest of 27 grandchildren.
Wow.
So I consider myself the favorite grandchild. So I need to be seeing my grandparents. And there's a huge Filipino American community in California, and I did my independent internship there when I was an undergrad, and I think I confused a lot of the locals just because I think they expected to hear this, you know, Californian accent. And then when I would be asking for directions, and back then GPS didn't really exist, and I had like this whole notebook of MapQuest directions going to all these different places all over Los Angeles, I think I concerned a lot of workers at gas stations just because I'd be like, can y'all tell me where this exit is? And so something about the word y'all, I don't know why it's so concerning, but I love it.
Yeah. I actually, okay, here I go again. I read an article the other day. go ahead and get that out of the way. I read an article the other day talking about the differences in the Southern language.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of books on that. It's a really cool thing. You know, how you can, you know, based on the part of Alabama that you're from.
Sure.
I didn't know you could break it down any farther than what I talk.
Right. Well, I didn't even know, like, within Alabama, I could see some distinctions between, say, maybe Texas and Alabama and Mississippi, you know, some
right.
state differences, but I could see some differences within the state. To be honest.
I think a lot of them within the state go mm-hmm. back to more of a socioeconomic thing,
mm-hmm.
but you can break the state down by that.
Oh yeah,
for a lot if you look at it. But yeah. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here.
Yeah, no, we could definitely go on some tangents. Maybe our next show.
Yeah,
for sure.
Maybe we'll talk linguistics.
We could do that.
Or linguine. Linguistics and linguine. And we'll, with our dietitian.
Yeah, so we can talk food
nice.
For sure.
Tied in there.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm getting so confused now. I think I need to go back to watching Jeopardy and the Wheel. You guys, this has been a great afternoon. We hope that you are enjoying today's weather, but please check us out next week. You have been listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and Dawn on 90.7 The Capstone.